Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to my radio show, Live Your Music. I'm Margot Joy Denader, and I'm broadcasting from Marin County, California. My guest for today's show is Serena Dyer Pisoni. In 2001, Dr. Wayne Dyer wrote a book called 10 Secrets for Success and Inner Peace, based on the most important principles he wanted his children to live by. Serena Dyer, one of those children, has contemplated these ideas throughout her life. Don't die with your music still in you has been the most important principle for Serena. To her, it means that you don't allow yourself to live any life other than the one you were born to live. In her book, Don't Die with Your Music Still in You, Serena shares what it was like to grow up with spiritual parents. She touches upon all 10 of her dad's original secrets, imparting her own experiences with them and detailing how they have affected the way she approaches the various situations in life. She shares stories, struggles, and triumphs, and Wayne, in turn, contributes his own perspective. This unique father-daughter collaboration will warm the hearts of all parents and inspire anyone who is looking to find the music inside themselves. During the show, I'll play a beautiful song called This Gift, and we'll talk about it. The song is on her sister Skye's album, Letting Go, and is based on a letter Serena wrote to her dad. We'll also be talking about the music Serena hears calling her now, and we'll talk about her joyful and fun wedding on Maui. To find out more about Serena Dyer Pisoni and sign up for her blog and newsletters, visit her website at www.SerenaDyer.com. That's SerenaDyer.com. Welcome, Serena.
Thank you, and thank you for having me back.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you back on the show. I had so much fun talking with you when you were on the show in March, and that show was after college, before the book, and before Marriage and Children. And now your book's out. And you got married on July 1st on Maui. So, wow, that's a lot to do all at one time.
Yeah, I had the book come out June 16th. I got married July 1st. So I had two major life-changing events take place within 2 weeks of each other. So it was definitely exciting and very exhilarating time. And it still is. I mean, I'm still kind of riding the wave of the newness of it all. It's been great. A lot has happened since I spoke to you last.
I know. I was so curious to talk with you after all of that because those are such huge things to have happen. And I had wondered about that, about having the book come out on June 16th, which was right near Father's Day weekend, which though is kind of cool because of your dad being part of writing the book as I think about it. And I had asked our son Xander, to get your book for me for Mother's Day, and it didn't come out in time, but he pre-ordered it for me. So it arrived on June 16th, just like it was supposed to, from Amazon. And I started reading it immediately, and I have to say that I just really, really love your book. I've read 10 Secrets for Success and Inner Peace when it first came out a long, long time ago, and I've been reading your dad's books ever since, back when he wrote Erroneous Zone. So I've read so many of his books, not every single one, but pretty close. And it was so interesting to me to read your perspective of what it was like growing up, not only with him as your dad, but your mom as your mom, and with these 10 secrets for success and inner peace. So I'm really, really glad I got it. I'm really glad I read it. And I'm also really highly recommend it to people. And I think that it would be a really good idea for us to mention what those 10 secrets are. But I think what I'd like to do is I'd like to play the song, This Gift, and talk about that, and talk a little bit about your wedding before we get into talking about the book.
Sure.
Okay. So this is going to be Sky Dyer singing This Gift. Sky Dyer, written by Alex Woodard, and it's based on a letter that you wrote to your dad, right, Serena?
Yes, it is. Alex Woodard is a good friend of the family, and he takes letters and turns them into songs. He wrote a book about it called For the Sender, and I wrote a letter to my dad after I went on a trip with him in the Mediterranean, and I was really overcome with emotion watching him do what he loves to do and touch other people's lives in the process.
Mm-hmm.
So I wrote him a letter thanking him for that and for demonstrating that for me. And Alex took it and turned it into a beautiful song, and Sky sings it so beautifully, and she has such a great voice. And Sky sang it at my wedding live during the father-daughter dance that I had with my dad, and there wasn't a dry eye at the wedding during that portion of the reception. So it was a very meaningful song for me and everyone in my family.
Well, I'll tell you what, the song gives me chills, too, as a parent. The idea of having a song like that sung to you by because your child wrote you a letter, as you did your dad, and then to have another one of your children, well, I only have one child, but to have another one of them singing it, I can totally imagine that would have been just the most incredible feeling.
Right. I think everybody felt that, felt the connection and the bond, and it was just a really beautiful moment.
Well, one of the things that I really love on your Facebook that you post, you and your family, Sky does, also your dad does on his Facebook, you all have so many wonderful pictures of the fun that you have together and separately. And it was really fun for me, and I'm sure it was for other people who love your dad and love Sky and love you, to see all the wonderful pictures of the celebration over on Maui. And it looked like it was a dream wedding. Was it like you dreamed it would be?
It exceeded my expectations, and that's because I tried not to have too many expectations, or in other words, I tried not to be too attached to how it would turn out. I was definitely very involved, and I planned the whole thing. So I was very invested in the way the wedding would turn out. But what I did, which is something that I would recommend to other brides, is I picked a florist, for example, that really resonated with me, that I felt understood the image that I wanted the wedding to have, or like the look I wanted the wedding to have. Mm-hmm. But I never asked her to show me an example of the flowers she was going to do. I never asked for a preview. I asked her to just do her best within my budget with the look I was hoping for and just surprise me. And I did the same thing with furniture rentals, with lighting, with the caterer. I talked to the caterer in depth about the kinds of foods I like, but I didn't get obsessed with the details. And I think that really made it so that I don't know if something went wrong on the day of the wedding, because nothing really could have gone wrong, because I didn't have any specific way things had to be. So maybe they didn't serve the salad they were meaning to serve, but I wouldn't have known. And I think that that's something that makes for a really amazing experience when you are the bride. And part of the reason I think it turned out so beautifully is because we really just wanted to be in nature and allow the beauty that is Maui to stand on its own. And it didn't really need much dressing up. I mean, we put tables out with flowers on them and some furniture and a little bit of lighting, but that was really it. And I think when you get married in nature, when you get married outdoors in a beautiful setting like we had, it's really hard to go wrong.
I totally agree with you. Our wedding in 1982, in June 26, 1982, Dudley and I got married outside up at a ranch that my family owns up in Shasta County, and it was the same way. It was like beautiful outdoor setting. It was just awesome to have everybody there, and it was very casual. I was dressed in a wedding dress, but, you know, it was outdoors, so it wasn't the whole – it had that beautiful blend of feeling spirit there with you, being outside. And I was thinking about Maui the other day, and I was thinking about, I don't know if you've ever seen the movie The Fifth Element, but it's one of my husband and son's favorites. And I was thinking that Maui has all five elements, really, because it has air, water, earth, and fire, of course. It has love, though, love being the fifth element, being everywhere. It's like, you know, there's so much love there. People go there for, they're happy, they're vacationing, they're celebrating love, life, and the joy of living. And so to me, it seems like it would like be the perfect place to have a wedding. And it's definitely
a place to
celebrate.
Right, and Maui is definitely, for me, a place of love. I mean, for everyone in my family, I absolutely love it there. I feel at home there. I feel so connected to myself and to nature and to just the things that are important. It's like when I'm in Maui, I find it's easier for me to be connected to God, to be connected to my highest self. And of course, I mean, I think that that's kind of a no-brainer. It's so beautiful and it's laid back. And I think it's harder to find that connection when I'm in a city or when I'm, you know, in the midst of regular life. So, you know, obviously Maui has a peaceful element for me, because when I'm there, I am sort of on vacation, which, you know, anytime you're on vacation, typically it's going to be more relaxing than when you're at home. But beyond being on vacation there, I think even for people that live there day to day, they would tell you that there's just something special about it.
I feel it myself when I'm there, and that's one of the main reasons that we've gone to Maui so many times and had what we call family celebration vacations there. It just went there for the very first time for our honeymoon. We went back for a couple anniversaries in the 80s, and then we ended up taking our son Xander there for the first time in 2001, and we ended up looking for your dad and didn't find him that year, but the next year we found, my husband and son found him when we were out walking down near where the Hula Grill is.
And, oh, nice.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, it was a really, really funny story because I had been looking all over for him, couldn't find him anywhere, and I had to go to the bathroom, so I go into Leilani's to go to the bathroom, and our son was 12 at the time, and as soon as I got in there, I heard, "Mom, Mom, you've got to come right now." And I'm going, "Why?" And he goes, "Because Dad has Wayne Dyer out there." "You've got to come out. You've got to come out right now. He's got him out there." So I got a picture of Wayne and our son when he was 12 with me out there in front of where the Hula Grill and Leilani's is.
Right. And, oh, that's so funny.
Yeah, yeah. It was so funny.
He walked by there every day.
Yeah,
he walked by there every day.
A lot of other times, too, but it's just, and then, of course, we've seen Sky a lot over there, and I don't know if I've seen you there or not, but it's just a wonderful place. I highly recommend people go there if they can and as often as they can. But, you know, we need to talk about your book, and if you could please just briefly mention the titles of the chapters, and then I'd like to talk to you about some of what you felt when you were writing them, okay?
Sure. So I'm just going to name the chapters in order. They are Don't Die With Your Music Still In You, Have a Mind That Is Open to Everything and Attached to Nothing, You Can't Give Away What You Don't Have, Embrace Silence, Give Up Your Personal History, You Can't Solve a Problem with the Same Mind That Created It, There Are No Justified Resentments, Treat Yourself As If You Already Are What You'd Like to Be, Treasure Your Divinity, and Wisdom Is Avoiding All Thoughts That Weaken You.
You know, they're all great reminders just in the titles. I love that about them, that they're not something that confuses you and makes you wonder. Once you've read each chapter, they really do remind you of those. And I love the quote that you started chapter one with, "Don't die with your music still in you." It's by Oprah, and it says, "There's no greater gift you can give or receive than to honor your calling. It's why you were born and how you become most truly alive." And tell us a little bit about that for you, Serena, about what that means for you.
What that means for me is the idea that we all came here with a purpose, or with music to play, if you will. And the greatest gift we can give ourselves is to honor that purpose, is to honor that music. And the greatest gift we can give others is to encourage them to honor their music and to play their own music. In fact, the more real you are with yourself, I think the more you honor your calling, the more alive you become. And when you are a fully, like, alive, vibrant human being, I think you subconsciously give other people permission to do the same. So it's a twofold process, really.
That's so true. That's so true. And I love that about your saying not only to live the music because it's what you're here to do, but also it encourages and reminds others to do the same. And can you imagine what the world would be like if everyone would allow themselves to listen to their heart and to live that music that they feel is calling them? That would be pretty awesome.
I think it would be a world. Yeah, I think we would have a lot less violence, anger, depression, suicide. I think that there would be so much more compassion. I find that when I am living the most true to myself, when I am living a life that really feels like I'm on purpose, I am happy for others as well. I don't really experience jealousy or envy when I am on purpose. Now, when I feel stuck or down or depressed, I honestly have a very hard time feeling happy. Like, I want to say that I'm happy for others, and I am. It's not that I'm not happy for them, but it's more like seeing their happiness is a reminder of how stuck I am, or how bad I am, or how depressed I am. Like, it's almost like a reminder that I'm not that. And I find that when I am on purpose, I only want to help other people be the same. I only want to encourage and boost up and love and show compassion toward others. And I think if we were all living more on purpose, if we were all playing the music we came here to play and living our Dharma, we really would be able to offer that same gift that we're giving ourselves. We'd really be able to give it to others as well.
It's so true. And you mentioned the word Dharma, and I love the word Dharma, and I know that it means your purpose in life, but just for our audience, maybe you can explain Dharma just briefly, really briefly for us in your way.
Well, the way I was raised to understand the word Dharma was sort of like the purpose that we have that is unique to us, that we signed up here to experience.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't necessarily have to be what we're doing with our life. It doesn't necessarily have to be our career or the job title we have. It's really more how we're leading our life. It's really more the story we're telling ourselves or the way in which we're choosing to live. And I think that everybody has a Dharma or a purpose that is really their own.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love the way you said that, too. And it's so funny because so many people think their purpose is going to be some big career or something like that. And I just gave a speech last night called A Dream is a Wish Your Heart Makes, which is chapter 10 of my book, The Art of Living a Life You Love, and talked about the fact that the reason I called it that is because what I'm talking about dreams in there is about it's something, it's a wish your heart makes. It really is. It's something that you feel inspired to do, called to do. It's not like I'm going to make piles of money and count them. It's about something that you just feel called to do. In other words, like for me writing that book, for doing this radio show, being a mom, et cetera. And for you, writing the book obviously was something you felt called to do and inspired to do.
Right. I really actually felt, since I was very young, the only thing I knew that I wanted to do was to tell
mm-hmm.
stories.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing. But that doesn't have, like, a job title. You know,
mm-hmm.
there's not really something called storyteller, and there's not really a major you can have to become a storyteller, and there's really not even, like, a career path of a storyteller that I'm familiar with. So when I made the decision to write this book, I, without even really knowing it, I was just signing up to tell stories, which
mm-hmm.
is what I always had wanted to do. I just didn't realize that, you know, because I want to tell true stories. I just didn't
right.
realize that being able to write this book was that opportunity to do it. It was only as I got in the writing process and I realized, well, my whole book is made up of stories, and
mm-hmm.
I hope that this is okay because this is all it is so far. And then I realized, you know, I was really living what it was that I had wanted. It was the wish that my heart had made, as you said, to tell stories. It was what I loved doing since I was a child. And I didn't even realize that I was doing it until it just hit me one day. Oh, my God, I'm becoming a storyteller. And I had so much, I don't know, peace in the process, I want to say, while I was doing that. It was
mm-hmm.
only when I got word back from the editor that they wanted me to tie in more spiritual teachings and bring it back to more of my dad's line of work, that I started to feel stressed about it because
mm-hmm.
I wasn't sure how to do that. That wasn't exactly natural for me, but telling the stories was natural for me. Excuse me. And the funniest thing is that most people that have read the book tell me, I love your stories. And it's like, you know, if I'm going to do this again, I think next time around I might just only write stories and let the spiritual lesson just come from the reader, whatever they get from it, because it's really the way I feel the most alive.
You know, and I can hear how alive you feel when you're talking about it like that, and you are. You're an awesome storyteller, and I agree with you. I've always enjoyed talking with people. That's something I've always enjoyed, and I started, a friend of mine, Robert Berry, I've known him for practically forever, since college days, and he had said to me, he was on one of my radio shows, well, he's been on actually more than once, but he had said, Margo, you've always loved to talk to people, and every kind of job that I've ever had that I actually enjoyed, it involved talking with people. And so doing this radio show gives me so much joy because it gives me a chance to talk to people who are living the music that they hear calling them, and that to me is so joyful because it's reminding the people that are listening that they have music in them and that they can live that music. And that's what I'm hoping that this radio show will do, along with your book as well, is to help people realize to live their music now and don't die with your music still in you.
Right. Right. I think it's so true. And it's like, you're absolutely right. I didn't set out to write this book thinking I was going to have piles of money to count. I set out to write the book because it was an opportunity that presented itself that allowed me to do what I was the most passionate about in life. And whether money comes out of it or not is yet to be seen, but I would write another one, even if it didn't make money, just because it was so wonderful for me to be part of that process and to be part of the process of getting these stories out there and hearing other people's reaction to it. And I would do it again and again just because
yeah.
I liked it so much.
I agree, and I want you to do it again and again. I need to say that next week on Wednesday the 27th, my guest is going to be Dave Carroll, and we're going to be talking about the anniversary of his YouTube video, United Breaks Guitars, which has now had over 14 million views. It came out in July of 2009. And I'll also be playing a song by Dave during the show, and we'll talk about his book, United Breaks Guitars, The Power of One Voice in the Age of Social Media. It's amazing, Serena, the power one voice has in the age of social media.
Oh, I agree. I mean, look at what this ALS Ice Bucket Challenge has done. One
oh,
voice
I know.
Started this, and they've now got Bill Gates and President George Bush and Oprah Winfrey to do it, and it's raised $14 million since June 29th for ALS.
That is
and
awesome.
This, right, and in the same, like, seven-week period last year, it was $1 million. So, I mean, it's just amazing the power of one person on social media. I completely agree.
And especially when that one person, like Dave did and like these people obviously are doing, is where they get other people involved in it, and it becomes like this thing where everybody wants to be part of it because they feel like, oh, wow, I'm helping with this cause, you know?
Right,
so,
right.
Yeah, it really is amazing. Speaking of that, though, we're running out of time, and I want to mention your website again. So if you'd say your website for us, that would be great.
Sure. My website is serenadyer.com, and I'm also on Facebook, facebook.com/officialSerenaDyer. I just launched that page so that I can accept friend requests because I reached a limit, I guess, and I had to turn people away. So I don't want to do that, so I've opened a new page that I'm going to be using almost exclusively, and I'm definitely available on Facebook or Twitter or my website.
And I also recommend people go to your website, sign up for your blog and newsletter, and like your Facebook page. I just love the posts that you have. They're always inspiring posts and fun stories and great pictures. And it's, you know, it's about living your music. That's what you're all about. That's what family's about. It's time for me to say to everybody out there, though, what music do you hear calling you? Are you living the music you hear calling you? Please, for the sake of everyone here on the planet, live the music you hear calling you. Serena, thank you so much for being on my show again, and thank you so much for writing your book, and I'm looking forward to the stories that you continue to tell.
Oh, thank you, and thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Bye for now, everyone. Look forward to talking with you again next week. Bye.